You're listening to the Red Diamond Courier, an Elder Scrolls podcast. Here are your hosts, Bob Chichinski and Dog Bark 24.
Welcome everyone to episode 129 of the Red Diamond Courier. I am here with you as always, Bob Chichinski, with my good friend Dog Bark 24. My dude, how you doing this fine week?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good as well. I guess I would know that since this is our second time recording this week. Yes, yes. Albeit maybe you guys don't get the episodes out and both in the same week, but we did record them both in the same week, so this is happening. Okay, people, get excited. But yes, yeah, so we are back. We've been living here in the Red Diamond Courier shop, me and Dogged, together, just trying to stay away from PC spoilers. We're Xbox kids right now, so it is what it is. But if you listen to the last episode, then you will already know that we're going to be talking patch notes and U41 for this episode. But what else are we going to be talking, Dog?
All right. Well, if you did, listen to the last episode, we're going to discuss also why I hate the No Prod campaign, because it can't be directly tied to a certain section of the patch notes. It will also make this, we're also going to kind of make this like a standalone PvP topic compared to, just being a really, really long patch notes episodes with some PvP tangent in the middle. So this is going to be like all PvP talk today. Yeah.
So basically rip this episode being under an hour is all you're having to say there.
I think this episode could be under an hour because it's not very long. This one won't be very long.
Well, we'll find out then. We'll find out. So I'm excited for that then. This is like a news to me because, I went into this blind, so I'm very excited. This is going to be good.
It will be.
All right, so Dogged, I'm sure that before we get into all this PvP madness, we have a little bit of news to get through. So I'm going to let the lights shine down on you, and you can take over.
All right. I do enjoy the spotlight. So first up, we are celebrating the 10th anniversary with an Orsinium special event from March 4th to April 1st. There's a few things that you can do here. When you complete the Orsinium main questline, you can unlock the Ink for Orsoc mount in the Crown Store. A lot of people really like the story for this one, and many say it's the best one. So, go ahead, do it. You can take your time because, you have all month, or I guess 2 weeks, two weeks by the time this episode comes out. But, yeah. And then also, if you defeat all the world bosses, you can get the Eternity Tunic with Pants and Brilliance Brocade Robes costumes. So you can get a few costumes and you can get a mount when you do stuff in the Orsinium DLC, world bosses and the main story. The other thing is that there's a couple of things in the March Crown Store showcase that you wanted to talk about. First, you have the Skyons of Athelia Collector's Bundle. All ESL Plus members can claim the Skyons of Athelia Collector's Bundle for free during a two-week window starting on each specific platform's launch. So that's happening right now for PC and starts March 26th for console. And this actually looks pretty cool. Saber cats aren't really my thing, with the short nub tail. But I can't complain with, free ESO Plus gifts.
Well, I think that, it is a pretty good collector's bundle as far as it goes. I mean, the real cool part is the fact that, ESO Plus gets it. I mean, how long have I complained about Yeah, so plus free gifts being statuettes and paintings, you know. So
oh, you know,
finally.
Funnily, you said that, because next up we have the statuette of Malekith, Furious One, available from March 28th to April 29th. And oh, now,
thank goodness.
Yeah, now you might be wondering if there's already a Malekith statuette, and there is one. There is another one. It's the Orc Father version.
Well, thank goodness that they're going to get the other version out, you know, because people need to have complete sets of these statuettes.
Yeah, that's, we need no more than three of each Daedric Prince now. Make it happen, right? But, you know, at some point we have to all collectively agree that enough is enough with these silly statuettes, right? Like, we don't need doubles or triples of Daedric Princes now.
Yeah. No, we don't. And honestly, I've felt that way for quite a while. So I'm on board.
Yeah. I'm even okay with them, like, you know, redoing them, because, you know, some people might want them, and those people should be able to get them if they missed it. You know, like the first year they were doing it, the first 12. The OG 12 statuettes before we know we were going to get 40 more.
I would be okay with them making the mini statuettes of, like, didn't they do that the one time of, like, the actual statue getting of the, like, the ones they make for the collectors, or like the ones you could buy online, you know, like they make the statue in game. But then they made the statuette one time too, like the one you could actually get in real life.
The, yeah, they have.
Vampire Lord one. But they didn't do it for like the Ascendant Lord or Meereen's Dagon, so.
I feel like they did it for Meereen's Dagon, but I'm not sure now.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they did. Blackwood was a weird time for me.
Yeah.
All right, so what's up next? D-O-double-G.
Next up, we have the Spawn of Mephala Arms Pack. This is going to be on March 18th to 25th. You can get the mask from Veteran Fungal Grotto 2 and Shoulders from Maj. And having the Hard Mode achievement increases the drop chance of both items. Plus, you know, there's the whole Spawn of Mephala Arms Pack, but I don't really care about that. I care more about the free things you can get in ESO by doing, you know, content. But
yeah, I haven't, that, like, I don't think it's a new one, right? Like, it's been out before.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this one's been out before. It's just
sounds familiar. Yeah,
yeah. And then lastly, we have the Jester's Feast Arms Pack, and this is available during the Jester's Festival. These just look silly and nonsensical. The Great Swordfish is pretty good, though, you know? It's pretty cool. Like
swordfish bones, or what?
It's just like a full-on swordfish.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. Classic Jester's Festival stuff in that case, I guess.
Yeah. But that wraps up the Crown Store items, or March Crown Store Showcase, rather.
All right. So we are right on through the news for you guys. And, of course, we've got plenty more, but we just want to remind you real quick that last week I forgot how to say robotsradio.net and said .com, apparently, that I heard when I was editing. I don't know. I was on a good one last week. So, don't go there. Go to robotsradio.net. See, now I'm nervous and I'm freaking out. Okay, but you guys know where to go. We're a part of one of the most amazing podcast networks with some of the most fantastic shows you could ever go hope to listen to, us included. And if you're just looking for something to go check out, I bet you that there is a show in our network that you will fall in love with. So go check them all out at robotsradio.net.
Have you ever wondered how deep the Elder Scrolls lore rabbit hole goes? Have you got a grasp of the basics and want to find out more about the universe? Written in Uncertainty is here to help you. We'll be mixing in philosophy, theology, and whatever other theory is useful with Elder Scrolls texts to untangle some of the biggest questions in the series, like what are dragon breaks, how does Chim work, where did the Dwemer go, and more. Check us out at writteninuncertainty.com or find Written in Uncertainty on any podcatcher. Thanks for listening, and catch you later in the Grey Maybe of Tamriel.
All right. So, right back in action. As Dog said, we got plenty of PvP stuff for you guys in this U41 update episode. I guess that translates to, which is kind of weird. But anyways, so, right off the bat, we're going into the current state of Cyrodiil. Straight from the notes. Of course, we've been talking about it. You all know it's exciting. Stackable siege weaponry. It is finally here. Cyrodiil siege engineers have figured out how to condense siege weaponry so it stacks. Cyrodiil siege weapons will now stack up to 20 if they're at maximum health. So, obviously, your ones with less health will not go into that stack, but those will be the first ones placed, because when placing siege weaponry from a quick slot, it will use the siege weapon with the lowest health in your inventory to help ensure your bag space stays fresh. So yeah, I mean, basically, I don't know about you guys, I would usually, even when I'm doing imp pushes and stuff, carry about 10 to 15 ballistas on me at a time. Because, I mean, you know, let's be real. You need space still for cold fire ballistas, rams, tents, repairs, blah, 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 everything else. So you can only have so many of these puppies on you. Now, being able to just have even just that stack of 15 plus four others that I've been laying down that are lower health, it's honestly crazy. I mean, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, you know what's also crazy?
Chalupas.
Maybe. But we're going to have 88 more spaces in our guild bank. 88 more.
Yeah. Wait, are they going to stack in the bank?
I'll probably have to take them all out of the bank to stack them. But.
And then put them back?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's sexy. I didn't think about them being able to stack in the bank. I was more worried about my, you know, personal inventory. But yeah, I think I have some laying about too, like in, you know, storage containers and bank. So
yeah, well, you can put them in there, and we'll probably still have like 80 slots left, or 80. We will still have 80 more slots than before. So,
well, to be fair, I still have, I think, 300, and you probably still have 1,000 mail to go through. So let's not get cocky.
Hey. All right. I only have like a couple hundred more. What do you call them? Pelennor's reward boxes. Otherwise, my mail is good. My mail is as in cleared. I just need to open them all.
All right, guys. Well, that sounds like a lot of. It sounds like a lot of potential siege to me. Okay.
No,
it doesn't. Yes,
it's only like 20 sieges. Okay, that's only one slot.
Whoa, what a dream! It used to be 20.
Yeah.
All right, so obviously you guys can tell we are quite excited for this. You should be too. It's going to be very awesome. Now moving on, we also have three new rewards for the worthy sets. Dogged. Why don't you go into this light armor set?
All right, so this light armor set is Oakfaller's Retribution. This will give you weapon and spell damage on his 2, 3, and 4 passive. And then his fifth one reads, gain 449 offense penetration against enemies for each major buff they have active. Gain 20 weapon and spell damage against enemies for each minor buff they have active. And Yeah, so this definitely seems like a tank buster set. Definitely will do some heavy and it will definitely do some heavy damage to Oak and Soul builds. So I'd say the set seems pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't seen a Rewards of the Worthy set in quite a while where I've been like, wow, this has potential. But I mean, would you say, dog, that this is a proc set?
I would say it probably is, but I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of proc, I guess.
Yeah, because I think it would be because it's like determining if a player has buffs or not.
Right.
So,
I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes the sets that sneak into that campaign are kind of weird.
Yeah.
No proc one. All right. So that one sounds good. Let's take a look at this medium set. It's going to be called Blunted Blades. It adds 1487 armor, gives you some max stamina, and then a weapon and spell damage on the 2, 3, and 4. On the 5 piece, when you take direct damage, minor enervation is applied to your enemy for 4 seconds, reducing their critical damage done by 10%. This can occur once every 5 seconds. Ow, I just bit my lip. But anyways, increasing your damage done to enemies with minor innervation by 6%. So, every time someone damages you, you apply minor innervation to them once every 4 seconds, which reduces their crit damage. No, once every 5 seconds for 4 seconds. So, it reduces their crit damage, essentially, almost for 100% uptime by 10%, and it increases your damage done to that enemy by 6%. It doesn't sound that bad. Like, I wish that last, like, I wish the 6% was 10% too, and I feel like it would actually be pretty freaking viable. But even where it stands, I'm kind of liking the concept. I mean, 2, 3, and 4 coming up through it is pretty good. I like how it has an armor passive. It has a weapon and spell damage. So it's actually kind of an interesting set. I don't know if it's going to be something that turns meta or anything, but I don't know. Kind of liking this one.
I kind of have, you know, a similar opinion. Crit damage has, you know, made a comeback in recent years. So, having a set, you know, reduce their crit damage while also increasing your damage done against them is, you know, pretty decent. The 4 second window to deal lots of damage seems pretty small, though. Like, you have to, like, know exactly when it's going to go off and then, you know, have an ult ready. Maybe a good stun along with that ult. It's definitely doable, but you know,
that's true because it's not just anytime you take damage, it's direct damage, so
yeah, which is pretty much all anytime you take damage,
yeah,
like as long as there's a person in front of you, you know,
okay, yeah. So, and I mean, the downtime is only a second,
yeah, I guess that's true, yeah.
But that second, I mean, if you're in execute, then yeah, it could be a problem.
Yeah, or if they're running away.
Yeah, that too.
But this is definitely a proc set.
Okay, yeah. That one I can agree with.
All right. The last Rewards of the Worthy set is a heavy armor set. It's called Bondar's Blessing. This one's going to add some armor, and then its 3 and 4 is going to add max health. Then its 5th piece reads, reduce the duration of breakable crowd control, immobilizes, and snares on you by 75%. Reduce the duration of your breakable crowd control, immobilizes, and snares by 38%. Now this is actually a really good PvP tank set, especially if you just want to sit there and be obnoxious. It's also a pretty good defense set for people who really only die because of stuns, because it lowers the break free cooldown. So okay. No, it doesn't. I read that wrong. But it reduces the cooldown of when you're actually stunned, which is pretty good too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Heavy armor itself, like the passives, already decrease that stuff by so much. I guess on top of that, it'd be kind of nice. Like, yeah. Another just good, kind of tank set. The only thing for me with tanking in PvP is just like, you really have to be... I mean, I don't want to say it in a ball group, but I mean, you have to be in a group, kind of, or at least, like, in a campaign with a lot going on. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree with
that. I don't have enough friends to tank in PvP.
Yeah, usually when I take my PvE tank to PvE, I try to just, like, sit under oil and try to get people to target me with cold fire ballistas. You know, my friends, so that like when all the people are just like, oh, we're gonna kill this guy, they all die because I talons them inside of cold fire or oil.
Yeah. Well, ever since you guys heard of this set about 30 or seconds or a minute ago, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Dogged. Is this a proc set?
This is definitely not a proc set.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Now we know what we can wear in that ridiculous campaign that I can't remember the name of.
Ravenwatch, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah,
is it,
there we go.
It's still Skyrim, right? Or is it
not Black Reach or Grey Host?
Oh yeah, yes, it is Ravenwatch.
Yeah. And let's keep every episode, okay? I'm petitioning for new names. I'm done. I'm done with the Grey Host stuff. I went to freaking 2020 ESO in Vegas when we did Skyrim. Okay, it's been 4 years. We need new names.
Well, it's been almost 4 years since we got the name changes. Almost.
Well, if they don't change it, then it will be 4 years. So that's, it's now or four years. So
if they don't change it by the chapter, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, so, this is your chance to prove me wrong, and it won't be 4 years.
But hey, it's not dragon names, right? That's good.
Is that what it was before? I was thinking it was, I forgot, because dragon names were only like 2 years or something. Before that, it was the Morrowind names, yep. Vivek and...
Kine, Sothisil.
Oh, that's right. Was there an Almalexia?
That wasn't then, I don't think. I don't know what the fourth one was, though.
Yeah, I can't remember. Kine was the under 50.
Yeah, Sothisil was the CP. Kine
babies. Vivek was like the big dog.
Yeah.
Almalexia had to be the other one.
I don't think it was.
Dude, if they had Vivek and Sothisil, they're gonna have Almalexia.
I don't think it was. Here, I'm gonna look up at USP right now and look at what the campaign names are.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to USP for all their magical knowledge that we all love. Go support them on Patreon like I do, get free stuff at the end of the year.
There was an Almalexia, but that was the no CP campaign.
Okay, well, I was still right.
But it wasn't then.
No, it was still then. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that was before, I believe.
No.
Yeah.
They didn't have a no CP campaign before then, dog.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like you're wrong.
We had veteran ranks before then. We didn't have that. That wasn't
no,
a thing.
Because Sothisil is in here. It's a 30-day no CP campaign. And Almalexia was 7-day no CP.
Yeah, so there used to be a 30-day and a 7-day.
There wasn't 5 campaigns, were there?
Yeah, there was a ton of campaigns.
Huh.
Yeah, they've gotten rid of a campaign in the recent. But that still leaves one.
Sothisil, Kine. I'm not seeing where this fourth one was. Like, at all. Alright, I'll move on, okay?
We have to.
Alright, so, of these 3 PvP sets that are added to the game, only one of them we can 100% guarantee can be used in all PvP zones. Actually, we can't 100% guarantee it because, you know, it might be bugged. But they should work in all PvP zones in the, you know, specifically the no proc campaigns. The one we are unsure about and could go either way. Unfortunately, at this time, there's really no possible way to tell if it can or cannot be used in there because you have to actually like manually test it. Maybe there's an obscure add-on that lets you know, but I'm not sure what that add-on would be. I tried looking for a set add-on, but it doesn't exist, so.
So, I think you should create it.
I don't even know how to use, or I wouldn't even know how to create an add-on, so.
You could do it, man. I have faith in you. You're younger than me.
I don't know.
You don't know if you're dogged. It's a fact that you're younger than me. I'm just kidding.
That is the fact, yeah. But I don't know if I could do it. I don't think so.
All right. So, obviously, we're going on a no campaign tangent here for looks like the rest of the episode. So,
why don't you tell us more?
No proc right. campaign.
There you go. Yeah,
why don't you tell us more about these no proc campaigns?
All right. So the no proc campaign came out in August of 2021, you know, officially. There was some testing before that, but that's okay. Which would have been the Waking Flame DLC and Update 31. In those patch notes, they gave a list of sets that worked in the no proc campaign. When I was doing research, because, you know, I wanted to try to be as accurate as possible, I think I saw that this list that the list was updated once by, you know, the devs. So it was officially updated once. But for the most part, the list of sets that is known to work in that campaign is all up to the player base. The minority of PvPers that actually play in that campaign, of which, you know, a few good people are willing to put in time and effort to keep the list updated. Really, you know, shout out to Caper Guy on the forums because he keeps the list updated. Last I checked, it was updated in February. So,
of
this year, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, February 2022. No.
I know, yeah.
But yeah, like, yeah.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So yeah, it's been, you know, 2.5 years or about 2.5 years. The same problems and issues that existed then still exist today. And that's primarily the fact that there is no in-game system that tells you, hey, this is a proc set or considered to be a proc set and will not work in this campaign. You know, this is frustrating and I'm not the only one that believes that. There's a forum post after I made these notes and we essentially came up with the same conclusions. Because this was an episode I've been wanting to do for like weeks, but we just never had a time. And then Midyear Mayhem came over and I got really mad. And we talked about that like a couple days ago. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm kind of just reading through these notes right here and I could say what I think, but it seems like you're going to do a lot of that in these next couple minutes right here. So you shine, dog.
Yeah. All right. I'll shine. All right. So there's a couple things that they can do. There's really like 2. And, you know, option 1, some sort of UI needs to be added that lets you know if your set does not work. It needs to be on the set or some sort of indicator similar to like your broken gear icon or your uncharged weapon on the screen. Maybe both. Both would be great. If this is a setting thing, it needs to be defaulted as on, because you know sometimes good settings are defaulted as off, because I don't know. That's just weird. I feel like a lot of good settings are defaulted as off now that I think about it. Even for like PvE.
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah, I feel like I'm always having to go turn like everything that used to just be on myself. It's kind of weird. But like, yeah, in a sense, like I like it, but also in a sense, I hate it. That's kind of a weird thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Ideally, any text that you see on an item set would be red. That way it sticks out. And if you see an icon, if there is an icon, rather, you can take a quick look at your sets and find out what doesn't work. So,
kind of like the you need to eat a food icon.
I don't think that's an icon. Yeah, that's not an icon. It just doesn't show your health. Your health bars are just
Like... No. Like at the bottom, bigger. It's like you need to repair your gear and enchant your weapon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like those. Like, yeah.
Your set doesn't work right now.
I don't know what that icon would look like. Like maybe like a armor piece with like a line through it. Like a
shield with a line through it is what originally thinking. Yeah.
And that's just like the UI. First, though, they will need to make a list of sets that do and do not work in the no prod campaign. And the list needs to be posted somewhere and pinned, because there's, if there's a way to,
pin things, please, that are important for the love of all that is holy.
Yeah. If there's a way to make a list in game, that would be amazing. But having an official list, or any list, you know, pinned on the top of the campaign section of the forums would be huge, because that list that I mentioned is not pinned on the top of the campaign section. I had to search for it, but you know, there's a search bar, so that's easy enough to do, but.
And also hasn't been officially updated, as you said, in years at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Now I know what you're thinking, right? You're like, but dog, isn't there like 500 sets in the game? And yeah, it's not going to be simple. It's going to be a very, very long and tedious task to mark all of the procs and conditions that don't work, you know, for something that's a UI thing. And outside of that, you know, that we're not even talking about creating a UI at that point that displays information. We're just talking about like going through 500 sets. That's a long task.
Yeah, but let's be real. There's some guy that already got his work done for, like, you know, this quarter, like, whatever, you know, and, like, he's just kind of, like, you know, faking it until he makes it for the rest of the month. So, you know, just be like, hey, Joe, you know, here's the list that we put out 4 years ago. This is a good start for you. Do those first in-game, make a symbol, appropriate it to all these sets, and then start going through every other single set in the game. And then if you're not done by Monday, you're fired. And Bob gets your job. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, no,
I'll do it for free. Just fly me out. And I will go through every set in the game and write, you know, just tell me what I need to type in to make it work. And I will do exactly that. That's my offer. Like, that's straight up free labor. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, if said Joe listens to our podcast, you know, that he knows that he can go check out Caper Guy's post on the forums too to help him.
But... Yes. Yes.
But yeah, that's going to be, you know, a lot of work. But if that gets done, the no prod campaign will be in a much better spot compared to where it's currently at.
And still will have no population.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. There will be more of a population, I would assume, though, if people actually know what to do.
I know, but when you go from 10 to 100, does it really make a difference?
Maybe. I mean, we're talking about Xbox, all right? You know, I think there's more of a population on PC, but I don't know. I don't play music. I don't know. Maybe.
So, Dog, is there any other options for them?
Yeah, you know, there's option two. This is the nuclear option. And that's just reverting it back to just being a plain old no CP campaign. You know, it's been 2.5 years with very, very little communication or really thought about the No Prog campaign. If there is any plan, nobody knows about it. And this just feels abandoned because, well, I don't know, it just feels abandoned. Also, it's important to note that Caper's Guy list, we kind of already went over that. Oh, no. Also, it's important to note that Caper's Guy's list was not on the community guide for White Shrike's Mayhem and isn't pinned on the forums, but we already went over that. The original update of proc testing in March 2021 is pinned, I think. But that's all. I think that's the only pinned post is that from March 2021.
I mean, you know, I can say for a fact that I know one guy really wanted to play no CP PvP, and we ruined that campaign for him then for White Streaks Mayhem, and that's the only time you get to play it. And it's really not fair. And, you know, the no proc thing, I don't know, man. Like you said, we play on Xbox. I don't go in there on PC. But in my 10 years of Elder Scrolls experience, judging by my personal opinion, I would say that it's a failure, you know. It was a great try to shake things up. They did it at a point where the power creep was really bad. And it's not to say that there isn't still a big problem with CP campaigns and getting two-shot by a dude that you can't even see and you hate life or a ball group, whatever. Problems are problems. That's just part of the game, unfortunately. However, the whole, you know, it feels manufactured. They're like, okay, well, not only are you not going to have CP, but you can't play with, like, half the sets in the game. It's like, I mean, is that really the problem? Like, can we decide what's the problem? Is the CP the problem? Or is the sets the problem? You know? Why do we have to just mash those two solutions together and be like, well, here it is. So, you know, they have a problem with you know, low PvP population, so they're having to condense campaigns and stuff like that. So I don't know, man. There's no easy solution for sure, other than just turning back on a new campaign and, you know, hoping for the best. But I don't know, it's hard to play God on that one.
Yeah, I would agree. Either way, though, something needs to be communicating. A good starter, just for like the time being, would be getting the proc set information out there and pitting the sets that work in a no proc campaigns. No. You know, if they are proactive and in all future patch notes, they could include a line saying, this is a proc set or this is not a proc set. You know, that would be pretty great because otherwise, poor Mr. Caper Guy or whoever else helps with him will have to go test all the new sets. And there's like, I think, 10 new sets this patch. Maybe just 9. No, 9. No, 10, because there's the... No. 4, 8, 9, 12. There's 12 new sets because there's 6 or 6 dungeon, 8 dungeon because of the monster mask, mythic, and then the 3 rewards, the worthy.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Suffice to say,
I think that, you know, wraps up our little talk about the No Proc campaigns. So you know what time that is, right?
Apparently, it's time for scores.
Yeah, apparently, it's time for scores. Yep, we're doing that at the end of the episode. So changing it up.
I guess it will lead us into the next episode quite well.
Yeah.
So let's just go right into it. We got the leaderboards for you guys. Hope you've enjoyed our PvP discussion so far. And if you're excited for the scores, of course, here they are for you. Save the best for last. PC NA Greyhost scores, 15 days left. EP is leading, 46.4K. AD right behind him, though, 45.9K. And DC bringing up the caboose with 45.6K. So they're close, but, you know, we need to dig out that hole, man. We have EU, AD 54K, EP 41K, and DC once again in last, unfortunately, with 35K. So, you know, all I could say about those is that DC, we need to pick it up. And spoiler alert, PlayStation, guys, it's only been 2 days since the last episode, okay? So I don't have the scores. Don't, you know, hate us. I promise. Soon, next paycheck, PlayStation Live, whatever the heck it's called, I don't know. You guys are coming. I'm not forgetting about you.
All right. There's still 15 days left in the campaign because they're synced now. We have DC in the lead for Xbox NA. We passed EP this time around. You know, and I guess that 2-3 days, whenever I took them last, which I think was 3 or 4 days ago. But DC's in first with 49K. EP's in second with 45K. And AD is in last with 38K.
Well, at least if we're struggling on PC, we're doing good on Xbox.
Yep. And for Xbox EU, we have DC in the lead again. With 60K this time around, EP farther back with 35K, and 80 in last again with 31K.
Yeah, I could get used to this dog DC in the lead song.
It's pretty great, yeah.
As long as we keep winning.
Yeah, as long as we keep winning.
All right, so I know that you guys are bummed that all good things must come to an end, but never fear, because we do have another Patch Notes episode coming for you guys with all the rest of the juicy deeds from this. We, you know, tried to break it up a little bit as we have now for a little while. So,
if you can't do it all in one go, there might be another two coming.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, 4 episodes, 2 weeks, you know, that will really satiate the people for maybe, you know, another week or so. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, dog. So before we start rambling, why don't you tell the people where they can find us?
All right, you can find us on X or Twitter of the @RedDiamondCast. You can find us on our ESO PC or Xbox Guild of Heirs of the Red Diamond, which you can join on the Robots Radio Discord, found on robotsradio.net.
And if you check our show notes, you'll find links to all our great stuff, like our sponsors, our music producer, Daniel Nisley, and our friends at ESO-hub.com, where you can use their Dwemer Automaton bot to subscribe to our podcast episodes, and it will pop up in your feed every time we drop a new episode. And they we're also on their podcast news page over there on their website. Really, really great tool for all players. Basically combines ESO-sets and ESO-something else. Just puts it all together. Yeah, it's an amazing website. So they did a great job with that, and we really always appreciate that they include not just us, but all the other podcast content creators over there as well. So always give a shout out to them, but a little bit bigger shout out this week because we just love them over there. So, Doug, where can the people find you, my man?
All right, you can find me on Xbox, X, Twitter, ESOPC, all of at DogBark24.
And it's going to be about the same for me, Xbox, ESO, X, and Twitch, Bob_Chachinsky. Man, it's been a crazy week. Hope you all enjoyed, you know, the episodes that you get to hear. They will be out within 7 days of each other. Maybe just not the same 7 days of the week, but... Days and time and numbers are all man-made configurations anyways, so still within a certain amount of times that the sun passed, we have put out episodes, and that's a dub.
That is a dub, yeah.
Alright, well, we will see you guys soon with the next half or third, possibly, we'll see of our patch notes episode. And y'all have a great time until then.
Yep, see ya.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Do you love the Witcher series and are interested in learning more about the world and the history and the monsters and the characters of the Witcher? Well, this is Robots from shows like the Fallout Lorecast and the Elder Scrolls Lorecast and the Mass Effect Lorecast. And me and my buddy Toasty are now doing the Witcher Lorecast. It's available on whatever podcatcher you're listening to this on right now. And we also record it live on Monday nights on twitch.tv/robotsradio at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. So you're welcome to join us there. Again, it's the Witcher Lorecast, available everywhere. Go check it out right now.